We're reading Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Hear now God's holy word. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So it's the reading of God's word. Let's pray together. Your Son is to us. Lord, I pray that you might speak to us through your word this morning, that you might allow us to rest this morning and to learn how to rest in our Savior Jesus Christ and the rest that he came to give us. Lord, we love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Rest sure would be nice. Would it not? As we come to the end of one calendar year and begin to look ahead to the next year, it's natural and good for us to take stock of our lives and to think ahead to how we hope to grow in the upcoming year. And as your pastor, if I could put something before you, I would encourage us all to work on learning how to rest. Rest in motion, rest in the midst of the chaos, rest in Jesus Christ. Because as I have been praying for us over this year and the previous years, it occurs to me that we are fatigued, restless. It's a common struggle for all of us. We certainly live in a restless and weary culture. But I don't think it's limited to our circumstances. It is a struggle common to man. It was certainly in Jesus' day 2,000 years ago when he first said those words. But I know that we're fatigued. I've heard some of us use the term exhausted or beat weary. Feel weary. But there's actually something really beautiful about that. Something really good is that what's clear is that Jesus Christ, our Savior, came for weary and burdened people like us. He came. The struggle is to find that rest and to receive it and to walk in it. The Son of God who said, "Behold, I come," and who came for us in the flesh, he turns to us now and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As I said, this is a familiar passage. We can admit that. I have no desire to labor to uncover some novel insight to this passage, which is familiar to us, and I certainly don't want to lay on anyone's shoulders a heavy burden of any sort. But what I do hope that we'll do this morning is simply meditate for a bit, restfully meditate, if you will, on this rest that Jesus Christ offers to us, what that looks like, so that we would come to him and experience that rest. But before we do that, there's two items that I want to address kind of as a for our meditation. And the first is relates to timing. Specifically, when Jesus offers this rest, the question is when can we expect to experience this rest? When will it be ours? And I think the answer to that question, like most, if not all of God's promises, is in part now, truly, but fully and completely is something that is set before us, as something that when we are in God's presence in the future. The writer of Hebrews received, he says that since therefore there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, let us strive to enter that rest. That's the fullness of that rest that we've been promised, that Jesus is promising here as our sure hope that it remains. That is what we strive to enter into so we can experience it for all eternity. And while we strive, while we are looking ahead, he gives us true rest now, which we experience in part even as we await for that which is the fullness. The second item I want to address is just generally speaking, before we get into some specific examples, generally speaking, what is our Savior calling us to do in this passage in order that we might receive this rest? And as I examine the passage, I see two exhortations for us, but maybe not what is immediately obvious. The first is so gentle that it doesn't even appear like a command. And that is this: acknowledge and admit that you are weary from a heavy burden. Because Jesus isn't calling all people here. And he's not offering his rest to all people. It's a select audience. He says, come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden. All who labor and are heavy laden. By that labor, he doesn't mean those of us who go into the office or work from home or whatever. It's not talking about that type of weariness that we might experience at the end of a long day or week or from doing yard work. He's talking about spiritual weariness from spiritually laboring under a spiritually heavy burden. And what our Savior is saying is, acknowledge the burden that is on your shoulders. Feel its weight. But more than that, admit that you're weary. Admit that you need help, that you need rest, and come to me for that rest. The second part of that is he says, come to me. To me, I think if we really think about it, I think that's a really surprising exhortation that he gives. If we know the nature of our God and the way that he deals with us and the gentleness of our Savior, I would expect that our Savior, understanding how weary we are, would simply say, okay, stop where you are. I see your weariness. Let me come to you so that I can give you rest. But that's not what he says. He says, in the midst of your weariness, come to me. He's like, I've come here. I am offering rest. Now come and walk to me, and I will give you rest. You come to me. I think of it like the image of, you watch those movies set in the Old West where the cook, finishes preparing the meal, and then he comes out, and then he starts clanging on the bell or ringing the triangle or whatever, and it like wakens everybody up from their hungry stupor where they're kind of doing whatever they're doing to know, okay, supper's ready. I need to head over so I can get the food that I need. That's what Jesus is doing. His words here are actually more urgent than what appears in the text. He's essentially saying, come now, come to me and get that rest. It's as if our Savior knows that we're gonna be plodding around in the midst of our weariness one way or another, and he wants to get our attention that we truly need, the rest that we need. And in coming, he exhorts us with two additional things. Perhaps these are explanations of what he means by coming. But he says, first, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. This is surprising, too. Because if Jesus understands our burden, like the weariness that we have, which he certainly does, we might expect him to come to us and say, you are weary from this burden. Let me remove this burden from you altogether. And yet that's not what he does. He doesn't remove the burden altogether. He replaces it with another burden. A yoke was a burden of its own. Wikipedia definition, which is a good enough definition of a yoke, is a wooden beam used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together on a load when working in pairs, as oxen tend to do. It's a good enough definition, but understand how beautiful that is, that he uses the word yoke. He says, my yoke. It's a relational thing. It's like you've got this heavy burden on you. Wherever that burden came from, that is your heavy burden. But I want you to come and to put on my yoke. It is his yoke because it is the yoke that he is bearing. And he is saying, I want you to crawl into that yoke and walk alongside me. And it's a light yoke because it is the burden that he primarily carries for us. And yet, it is still a burden. It is still a burden. It is a light burden. Still one where we are moving together, but now moving in lockstep with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful picture. But then he also says, second part, he said, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. Certainly some of that is he's encouraging us to take on this burden, that it will be safe. As if to say, you know, this burden, this yoke that I give you, I'm gentle, and it will be a gentle burden. It will be a gentle yoke. It will be an easy yoke, a good yoke. It will be a light burden. He's calling us to understand the posture that he intends us to take. He says, learn from me that I am lowly of heart. There is a humility that is required for us to admit that we are weary, that perhaps the burden that we are carrying is not helpful for us. It requires humility for us to stoop under his yoke. And he says, but learn of me that I am gentle and lowly. Stoop under this yoke just as I have stooped to put this yoke on my neck to carry it for you. But also, I think when he says, learn of me, he intends us to understand the nature of this rest, or what this rest might look like. Because he says, come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. As if to say, this rest that he gives is not simply like one of these gifts in a backpack that he carries around and he's ready to give it once we walk up to him. In him. In fact, he is the incarnation, if you will, of God's perfect rest. And if we think about the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what we see. And it's astounding, really. If we consider all that he endured, all that he did, all that he said, he had rest. He was at rest in his soul. His rest was not ignorant, out of ignorance or naivety. He knew exactly what he was doing and exactly what he was going to endure, and yet he was perfectly at rest, never anxious, never fearful, never overbearing or demanding or forcing, perfectly in control, not overly seeking to control. He was at rest. His rest was not inactive. He said, my Father is always working, and I am always working. It didn't relate necessarily to his physical weariness. He worked himself in his spiritual rest to the point where he was physically tired, exhausted even. He slept, and yet his soul was at rest. And it was his rest was not inconsiderate, never selfish or self-seeking. He never checked out. Despite all that he endured from the hand of the Father righteously, and all that he endured from the hands of men unrighteously, he loved the Father to the end. He loved the people to the end. He was at rest, and his rest produced love. We achieve that rest. That is what his rest produces in us, is love. Love for the Lord and love for one another. So with that in mind, as a backdrop, kind of understanding that rest that we can expect and how we might go about it, I want to consider this by way of application in kind of three different perspectives, of three different aspects of what this rest that Jesus provides is. First and foremost, Jesus provides us rest from the demands of God's law. First and most foundational aspect of the rest that he is referring to here, the root of our weariness, I believe. God's law is good. We have mentioned that. And yet it is absolute. It requires perfect obedience for us to be justified and and found righteous according to our works. And our natural reaction is either to ignore or deny God's law has any authority over us, or it is to try to uphold God's law on our own. And either way, it creates great weariness and is a huge burden. Denying or ignoring God's law is a great burden, because to ignore God's law is to deny that God is, and that he has authority over us, and yet God has placed in our way on full display many, many indisputable points of evidence. Power, he has endowed the things that he's created with his invisible qualities so that they're plain to everyone. He has created us in his image, and he has written his law on our hearts. And while we as people, as mankind, distort the purity of God's moral law, it is inescapable. We are moral creatures. And so we fight against this, and we weary ourselves trying to ignore it, trying to block out the noise. The modern philosophers try to weary themselves by arguing on their podcasts and their blogs or their talk shows that God's law has no authority over our lives. Some of us who have put our faith in Jesus Christ know a previous time in our life where we felt that weariness by chafing and fighting against God's law as having any authority over us. And my friends, if you have not yet put your faith in Jesus Christ, I hope you've already begun to feel the weariness of that. The weariness of fighting against what the Lord has plainly displayed for us and has clearly revealed in his word. It's a wearisome task, but so is trying to keep the law, or trying to keep the law of our on our own strength, because the law's demands are absolute and absolutely perfect, and they require perfect obedience from our entire life, and we've already broken God's law. From birth, we are sinful. We have not kept God's law, and we cannot keep God's law. And we know this deep in our soul, and yet we play on our own. And the way we take it, to shrink it down to size, to something that we can, we believe that we're holding as true. That's what the Pharisees did. They manipulated the law to make it tangible. And we do the same thing. We know in our hearts that we are not the judge and that this is not our law. And yet we play the judge, trying to justify ourselves. And it works itself out with our self-justifications and our explanations or denying that we've sinned. And we try to present this picture, this, try to convince everybody, try to convince God, try to convince ourselves that we are free and without sin. And we can't do it. And it's a heavy burden. But the opposite is also a heavy burden too. We can look at our complete inability to keep God's law. And we can feel that failure and we can fret over our inability. And it comes out with something like this, like, maybe I'm not really saved. Maybe I don't really know Jesus. Maybe the Spirit's really not at work in me, because why would I keep doing these things? A wretched sinner. God couldn't possibly love a person as sinful as me. And beloved, that is a heavy burden. But to us who seek to carry the demands of God on our own shoulders, our Savior comes and says, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, this is the burden that I carry on my shoulders. That's exactly why he came, to perfectly uphold the law of God for us. And he did it. He was perfectly obedient in his life, and he was perfectly obedient in his death. He gave his life to pay the penalty for our disobedience. And he says, come to me. Take my yoke. My yoke is easy. Here's what you must do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Believe that I am carrying this load for you, that I have carried it and will carry it. Believe in me, and you will be saved. And to the self-righteous, he turns and he says, listen to me. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. Stop fighting it. Because I came into the world to save sinners, and I've come for you. This is how my love is demonstrated, how God's love is demonstrated. I laid down my life while you were yet a sinner. Admit you're a sinner. Come to me and take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. To the one fretting, he says, I love you. I came into the world to save sinners. While you are yet a sinner, you think I don't love you? This is how you know God's love. While you were a sinner, I gave my life for you. He says, confess your sins, and my Father will be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come to me, rest from this attempt to carry this burden on our own. Beloved, you and I are sinners. And that's okay to admit, because we have a gracious Savior. There is great rest in the gift of salvation. But there's still a burden, because he says, come to me and take my yoke upon you. Jesus Christ, that brought us salvation. That is the path that he's trotting. That is the work that he's doing. And by coming under his yoke, he is saying, yes, pursue obedience to my Father's law, but in a very different way. no longer as a demand for salvation, but in the freedom that I have purchased for you. In his death, in his resurrection, he has burst the bonds of the power of sin, and he's given us new life to be able to obey God's law, so that now it is no longer a demand that we must meet, but a joy of the freedom that we have been given. The Apostle James calls it the law of liberty, the place where there's blessing. And the Apostle John says his commands are not burdensome. It's not the commands themselves that are burdensome. They are burdensome when we want to self-justify, when we try to hold them and bear the burden of perfect obedience as our source of salvation. But when we've been set free, as we have been, and that's what he calls us to do. There's freedom, there's rest from the demands of God's law. Second form of rest is that Jesus Christ grants us rest from the demands of other people. Jesus talked about the Pharisees, and he said, you know, they load these heavy burdens on people's shoulders, and yet they won't lift a finger. How different from Jesus, who comes and stoops and takes the primary work of the burden, practice. And friends, is it not true that that same Spirit is alive and well in the world today? It seems there are so many voices and messages about what you must do and what you must not do. This is what you must do to be a perfect husband or a perfect wife. This is how you must raise your children or discipline your children or educate your children. This is the food that you must eat or not eat, and the cookware you must use and not use. What you must believe about immigration, and what you must believe about, you know, political or police action. This is what you must believe about the economy and the environment. Everyone wants to tell you what you must and must not do. You have the demands of your spouse and the demands of your kids and the demands of your parents, the demands of your grandchildren and your grandparents, the demands of your boss and your customers and the market and your coworkers. Yes, the demands and the expectations of your brothers and sisters in the church. The voices are many, everyone telling you this is what you must do, this is how you must act, and what you must not do. And there is a judgment if you do not. There is disappointment or criticism or cancellation. It's a wearisome task. And it's a wearisome task trying to deal with the noise. There's something deep within us that desires to please people, to satisfy people. We want a good reputation. We want to be on good terms. We want people to think well of us, because if we have a good reputation, that will buy us friends and respect, a happy home. Who knows, maybe at the end of the year, when bonuses and raises are handed out, more money. We want these things, and yet it is a wearisome task trying to chase after the affections of people, of winning and keeping. The rules are not fixed like our gods are. They are self-serving and hypocritical, and we sit there and chase these affections, and it is a wearisome task. And we will do lots of different things to try to win that those affections. Some of us go to extents not just to change our behavior, but to actually try to change ourselves. I did that very thing when I was in middle school and high school, as I chased the affections of my fellow students, made a number of destructive changes to my life. And in the end, what did it change? It didn't change my perception among my peers. It only changed me. in destructive ways that I've been unraveling decades afterwards. And hopefully you haven't done anything so foolish as that to change fundamental things about your life, but perhaps you've heard yourself saying something to the extent of, you know, why do I even bother? And they weren't happy about that, and then they want the opposite, and so I've tried the opposite, and no matter what I've done, they've been unhappy with it, and I feel like I'm just chasing my tail, trying to please them, like it doesn't matter what I do. They're never happy, and they're never satisfied. That's what I'm talking about, that weariness. And there's something dangerous to that, because that is in our hearts, as there's a fear of man, which proves to be a snare. But the alternative isn't much better. It's just as wearisome, because we can be so frustrated by our inability to please that we can just check out and just say, well, I just don't care anymore. Nothing. It just doesn't matter because I can't make them happy. I might as well just do what I want to do and let the chips fall where they may. But that's just as wearisome, because we ache under the loneliness of that. We know that we were made for fellowship, for friendship, for intimacy, for loving community, to serve one another, and that loneliness that we adopt, or that self-protection that we adopt, it robs us of that, and we feel weary under that burden. We weren't meant to be alone. But to us who are wearied from this burden of trying to deal with the demands of other people, our Savior says, come to me. Come to me, who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, I know you. I know you perfectly, and I love you. I know your weaknesses and your foolishness and your sin struggles and your failures. I know all of that, and I accept you. I couldn't love you more. I came and I took on human flesh for you. I made sure that you would hear my voice calling you to me, that I might embrace you with my love and give you my rest. I love you. Come to me. And he says, I know the demands of other people and the criticisms and the rejection and the scorn. I know all that. I faced it all. And I am gentle. I will never turn you away. I will never embarrass you. I will never put you to shame. Come to me. There is rest if you come to me. But he does, and learn of me. Our Savior accepts us perfectly and totally, and yet he does intend to change us. He does intend to change us into his image, but so gently, so imperceptibly slow. And through the relationships that he has given to us, the difficult and trying and demanding relationships that he gives to us. But he says, learn of me. Take my yoke. Don't worry about, try not to worry about their demands. Focus on what I have for you and what I give to you and my love for you. Try to block out those demands and live for me. But of course, what his commands involved are love. Love for those people in our lives. He says, this is my command for you, that you love one another. Do not consider yourself more highly than you ought, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. but not for the praise of man. Not to earn their praise, but to seek the praise of our Savior for his honor and his glory, for the benefit of those whom we are called to serve. And he says, learn of me, learn of my love, learn what that looks like. Learn of my patient love, my love that continues even while I'm being mistreated and I'm not getting what I deserve. Even when the demands are piled on me, this love that is kind, that even when it's one-sided and I'm getting nothing back in return, and you're hearing all the things you're hearing, a kind continues to bestow good, and one that is persevering and continued. That's the love that he calls us to, and when we come to him, we experience his accepting love now, and as we live in that, we know for certain that we will on that day hear from him, well done, rest in living in the love of Christ. It is rest for our souls. The third and final form of rest, the shortest of the three, is Jesus Christ gives us rest from our own demands. Rest from our own demands. We've talked about some of these demands already and the things that we've already mentioned. Our demand to be perfect, our quest for perfection in and of ourselves to self-justify, but also our demand to be valuable in other people's eyes, to earn their praise. To that, I would add the demands we place on other people. Because just as other people place demands upon us, we place our demands on other people. And if we admit it, we also place expectations and demands on the Lord. We want things to be right, according to the way we define it, and we want them now. And so we do whatever it is, however it works out, we try to force our ideals into reality, to make those things happen. And we feel this burden of orchestrating our will be done. This perfect, whatever it is. And it is a burden beyond our carrying. And so we become weary with our bitterness and our anger and our discontentment and even our despair. Will things ever get to be the way that they need to be? And to us who have these demands that we place and we carry these demands, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, you were never meant to carry this burden. You cannot do it. You cannot carry the fate of the world, the weight of the way things need to be on your own shoulders. You can't even preserve your own life. But I can. I can. And I am doing it. And I will do it. And I know what I'm doing. Come to me and find rest in me. Trust me to see it through. Come and find rest. But even still, it's not like we just check out and say, okay, God, take it from here. No, he says, take my yoke upon me and learn from me. He says, put your head under the yoke and let's go forward. He says, I am carrying this load, but you are participating in this. He said, learn from me. Learn to endure patiently with me the imperfections of this world. I am patiently enduring these things. I face indignation all the day long. Endure them patiently with me. Learn to be gentle with me, with those who are weak or foolish or ignorant. Don't force, don't insist, be gentle. Minister, serve, Be patient. He says, I will make it right. That's my job. I will do it. I'm workers, and I will carry it to completion. And beloved, there is great rest if we will come to him and we will accept the rest that he gives. In fact, when we come to our Lord Jesus Christ, as he calls us to, he will give us rest in himself. And this list, these examples, it's not exhaustive. Jesus is not specific about the type of rest that he gives or the burdens that he's talking about. That list is expansive and complete. My dear friends, what is the heavy burden that you are carrying on your shoulders? The spiritual burden that is causing spiritual weariness, Jesus Christ gives rest for that. True rest now, as we trust in him by faith, as we await the fullness of that rest in the life to come. But whatever the rest that we're talking about, whether this rest that we experience now, truly now, or the one that is yet to come, it is only ours and truly ours in Jesus Christ. But beloved, he is gentle and he is lowly. He will not force you. He will not force you to urgency. He says, come. Come now. Come, you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My dear friends, this is one of God's precious treasures. Plant this deep in your heart. Memorize this promise. But more than that, live it. Come to him. Come to him and find rest. Rest for your souls that truly satisfies. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. Your word is so honest and so piercing that we approach it, and it approaches us and does a number on us. It investigates us and reveals our own hearts and how true this is here, how slow we are to accept the gift that you've given to us, and how content we are to just be weary when you've promised us rest. Oh, please, Lord, give us the strength to come to Jesus and to find that rest. Help us to live in that rest, trusting you with all of our being. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.